Good Sunday morning, Central Baptist Church, friends and family. Today is May the 3rd. We're glad to have you with us as we once again take a look into God's Word. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn with me this morning, if you would, to the book of Jonah, chapter 2. Jonah chapter 2. Last week we were looking at the first chapter of the book of Jonah and how God wanted to do something pretty incredible in this place called Nineveh. It was a city that he wanted to save. And he called his servant, the one that in the Word of God actually says the prophet Jonah, God called him. We know that he called him to go to Nineveh, that great city, and prophesy, preach to them, to preach repentance to them. And what happened was, of course, we know from chapter 1 that Jonah decided that he was going to go in a completely different direction. Nineveh was a great city. It was a city that is believed to have been around 600,000 folks. And once God called Jonah, he wanted to do something incredible in Jonah's life. There were some things that that God needed to do to get Jonah's attention because, as we know, and we'll find out a little bit later on, Jonah had a hatred for the folks in the city of Nineveh. So God wanted to teach Jonah some lessons as well as win a city over to him. And I love that scripture that we often look at that says, all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. So God had multiple plans that were going on at the same time, particularly dealing with Jonah as well as Nineveh. Now today we're going to look at Jonah chapter 2. We know that in chapter 1, what had taken place was God called Jonah. Jonah went in the opposite direction. We know that the sea became turbulent. And Jonah actually told the sailors as he was sleeping down in the belly of the ship that it was because of him that that they were in trouble. And of course, he said, "Well, you all just need to cast me overboard." And they didn't want to do that, but eventually they decided that something had to be done. They cast Jonah overboard. At which point the seas calmed. And we know that at the end of chapter 1, we find that God created a big fish to swallow Jonah. Now, as we begin with chapter 2, we begin to see that particular situation of the great fish after Jonah has been swallowed. Look at chapter 2 of the book of Jonah. We're going to begin reading at verse 1. It said, "Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. Verse 3, for you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the sea, and the floods surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The waters surround me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. Verse 6, I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought me up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you with my voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land." Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, we just pray that you will speak to us. Lord, we know that in the same manner that that you got a hold of Jonah, you did some incredible things in his life to get him in the direction you wanted him to go. Lord, I pray that that we would be careful to hear what you say to each and every one of us. Father, I pray that you will help us during this this time of slowing down, that we will truly seek you, that we will find the direction that you have for us in our lives. Lord, I pray that if there are those who are going through similar situations of what Jonah was doing, they were running from you, that today will truly be the day that they will surrender to your will for their life because, Lord, you want to do something great, probably in more than just one place. Lord, not only in our lives, but in the lives of those that we will come in contact with. Lord, truly help us to be about your will. I pray, Father, today you will use me as your servant, that your word might be proclaimed throughout the land, and that Lord, we would be careful to hear what the Spirit has to say to each and every one of us. So Lord, bless our time that we'll spend in your word today, and Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. You know, when we see this particular aspect of what was taking place with Jonah, we've kind of got that background of what was going on in chapter 1, and in particular when it ends, and it talks about how the great fish swallowed Jonah, and he was in the belly of that great fish for 3 days and for 3 nights, and he had a little bit of time on his hands. Now, you talk about a quarantine. Boy, Jonah had a quarantine. Nobody in, nobody out. A time to ponder and a time to think about what God wanted to do in his life. Now, that's been a challenge that we have put forth to you during this time that we have been quarantined. I've been challenging you to seek God, to seek his face in the midst of this slowdown, to see what it is that God's wanting to say to each and every one of us. Maybe he's got a great message for us in the same manner that he had for Jonah. So Jonah had this time to ponder his life. Yeah, oftentimes you'll hear people say that my life flashed before my eyes. Jonah had this time to really reflect because he didn't know what was going to happen to him. He didn't know whether or not his life was going to end while he was in the belly of a fish. Obviously, he probably wasn't sitting there thinking, well, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to be regurgitated onto dry land. But in the midst of that, he really had a time to get close to the Lord. And it says that Jonah prayed. Look at verse 1. Of chapter 2, it says, then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. So I want us to look this morning at where Jonah prayed. That's kind of a strange place to pray. He was praying from the middle of the belly of a fish somewhere out in the ocean, somewhere where he didn't know. I can imagine the darkness that he was in at the time. I often think about the fact that a lot, for a lot of us, we have that place that we like to call the secret place, a place where we like to go, a place where we like to spend time in prayer to our Lord and Savior. It's a special place. You know, sometimes it may be it's a sanctuary, whether it's the actual sanctuary or a place that you call your sanctuary, your prayer closet, or wherever that may be. I'm sure that Jonah's probably was not the belly of a fish. Kind of a strange place, not a place that any of us would choose. But here's the thing I want us to understand about Jonah's crying out and Jonah's praying to the Lord. What he did was he prayed where he was. So wherever you are, that is the place to pray. Now, I'm not necessarily just talking about the physical location, but I'm also challenging you today to look at your life. Where are you in life? Is God trying to get your attention? Is he trying to bring you to a place where he can use you? Is he trying to bring you to a place of repentance, wherever it may be? Let me promise you this, that's the place to pray, wherever it may be. In Jonah's case, in this particular point in time, it was in the midst of a very troubled time in his life. He was running from God. God was not going to let him get away, and I can make you a promise, God's not going to let you get away either. There's not a place that you can run that's too high. There's not a place that you can run that is too low. In fact, in this particular passage that we read, he says, I went down to the moorings of the mountain. Now, think about that for just a moment. He's talking about the bases of the mountain, the moorings of the mountain, someplace that nobody goes and visits. It's not a place where people go. And that was the point that he was trying to get across, is that you can't run from God. No matter where you are, no matter what your circumstances, no matter what your situations, you cannot run from God. You may as well just surrender to what his will is. And I can promise you, it's going to be the best thing for you. You will not regret it for a single moment. Remember I said a moment ago, God was trying to do some things in the life of Jonah as well as, say, the city of Nineveh. That's going to become important as we continue our study. And we'll get to that very shortly. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but we see that what was going on was that Jonah, where he prayed, was in the midst of his situation. So wherever you are in the midst of your situation, that's where you need to pray. And I love what the word says. It says in verse 2, or verse 1, says, pray to the Lord's God. And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my afflictions. And notice at the latter part of verse 2, and it says, and you heard my voice. A couple of great lessons in regard to our praying. Number one, we mentioned it a moment ago, is that God will hear you anywhere you are. Now, anywhere could be not only physical location, but it can also be no matter where you are in your life. Let me promise you this. If you cry out to God, he is going to hear you. There's no doubt whatsoever about that. He will hear you. Now, I often like to put it this way. Here's the second point that I want to bring about today is this, is that it's a whole lot easier to pray to the Lord when you're in normal surroundings than for him to have to get your attention in the middle of a crisis or in the middle of a situation or in the middle of something that would be abnormal. You know, for the past 6, 7 weeks, almost 2 months, we've been in some very abnormal situations. Everybody, we're all in that particular boat together. But you know, I still believe that all things do work together for the good of them who love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose, and that he is wanting to get the attention of his people, his Christian people. I believe he's wanting to get the attention of lost people, and I believe he does want to do something in the United States of America. He has got many, many things that are taking place that are being orchestrated to bring about his will, and we all play a specific part along the way. So I'm asking you this, are you crying out to God in the midst of your normal and in the midst of what seems to be abnormal? So that is where he prayed. Now I want us to look also at why he prayed. Now verse 2 goes on and says this, once again verse 2 says, and he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Now, when you begin to think about that, you know, a lot of scholars believe that when you think about this, Jonah hadn't been praying for quite some time. You know, we know that he was fleeing from God. He was fleeing from what it was that God wanted him to do. We know that he was in the process of neglecting his spiritual responsibilities that God had called him to. In fact, we know that from chapter 1 that in the middle of the storm, Jonah was down in the belly of the ship asleep while everybody else was going crazy. Here was Jonah just down there asleep like he didn't have a single care in the world. You know, that's what happens oftentimes when God is chastening folks. You know, you can find yourself in that same situation. Are you sleeping during the storm? Has God gotten your attention along the way? And are you listening to what it is that he's trying to tell you? And when you look at at particularly verse 2 and following as he goes on, man, this guy was really, really afflicted. Look again at verse 2. It says, out of the belly of, middle of verse 2, out of the belly of Sheol, I cried and you heard my voice. Verse 3, for you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the sea, and the floods surrounding me and your billows and your waves passed over me. So, you know, essentially, he's sitting there talking about being cast off into the ocean. I can't imagine what that must have been like in the middle of a storm, being cast off into the ocean. It's kind of like that situation. You say, brother, you have problems? Think about what Jonah was going through. It says, the floods encompassed about me as he was thrown off into the water, into the seas. I can imagine how the waves were just picking him up, and I can just imagine what was taking place and how things were going. I'm sure he felt at that particular point like he was just about to die. It says, thy billows and waves passed over me. The waters compassed me about, you know, even to my soul. He even gets very, very graphic. Look down there at verse 5. It says, in the latter part of that, it says, weeds wrapped around my head. He is even describing what's taking place and what's going on. There was seaweed that was wrapping up all around him. He's getting really, really graphic about what's taking place in his life and really graphic about what's going on and about how he feels in the midst of his prayer. So this is why he was praying. Folks, I want to encourage you today that in the middle of your troubles, in the middle of your seas, as they're coming in around you, as the seaweed is wrapping around your head and you feel like there is despair, much like Jonah did, this is a great reason why you should pray. This should be something that should drive you to that prayer closet. It should drive you to, like we mentioned a moment ago, to wherever you are, to cry out unto God, because the Bible tells us this, and I believe it with all my heart, and I know it to be a fact, that when you cry out to him, he will hear you. Turn to him. Don't run away from him in the same manner in which Jonah was doing. So as we look at verse 2 and we think about his prayer, you know, we see, you know, where it was that he prayed. We see why it was that he was praying. And I want us to now look at when he prayed. Down there in verse 7, it says, "When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple." Jonah was now at the end of himself. God had gotten his attention. Yeah, it's kind of like that old expression where it says that sometimes God has to put us on the flat of our back, that the only place that we can look is up. Is that you today? Is that what you're going through? Yeah, Jonah has run out of time. He has come to the end of himself. You know, for in Jonah's heart and mind, while he was in the belly of that fish, it was no more running. It's time to stop running. Folks, I want to look you right in the eye today and tell you it's time to stop running. It's time to start being about what God's plan for your life is. Stop running from it. Yeah, the other thing that we learn about Jonah in this particular case was he had a case of spiritual selective hearing. And you know what I'm talking about there. Some might call it spiritual deafness. But what was taking place and going on was that he was only listening to what he wanted to listen to. And some of us are doing the same thing. You know exactly what it is that God is calling you to do. You know exactly what it is that God is telling you to do. And the thing about it is, you're turning a deaf ear to it. You're being like Jonah. You're running. You're going in the opposite direction. Folks, let me promise you this. God has a way to get you headed in the direction he wants you to go. Prayerfully, it won't be like Jonah through the belly of a fish. Prayerfully, we will surrender to what God's will for our life is. Time to stop running. It is time for you to stop right where you are, hand it over to God and say, "Lord, I will be, go, do whatever it is that you want me to do. Lord, I'm listening. You've gotten my attention." You know, as I was reading through these particular passages, it really brought to mind the passage we're going to look at this coming Wednesday in our Bible study of the prodigal son. Most of us know that story, but it says that when the younger son found himself in the hog pen, and yeah, he was desiring the pig slop, for lack of a better word. You know, he was that hungry. There was a famine in the land. He had blown everything. And I love what that word says. It says, "And when he came to himself," in this particular moment in time with Jonah has come to himself. The only problem is it's in the belly of a great fish at this particular point. He's probably thinking, "Well, I don't have much of a future. I don't know what can take place from here. I may never, ever have another chance." But he has finally come to his senses. Folks, I pray that God does not have to get your attention in the same way that he had to get the attention of Jonah, or the same way that the prodigal son had to have his attention getter. I pray that today, as you sense the Holy Spirit tugging at your heartstrings, that you will surrender. Don't be like Jonah. Don't be like the prodigal son. Because at this particular point, Jonah had a change of heart. You know, he goes on and he says things like this. He says, "I will remember the Lord. I will sacrifice unto thee. I will pay that I have vowed." You know, he had this change of heart. He says, "Salvation is unto the Lord." It is time for us to realize God for who he is and to pay tribute to him, to trust him with our lives, to trust him with everything. Now, we know that when Jonah had this particular moment, as we come to the end of chapter 2, you know what it says? It says this. It says look at verse 10. "So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out onto dry land." Yeah, I guess if I had to put it in modern day terms, Jonah finally said, "Lord, I get it. I understand. You're God. I'm not." God said, "Okay, now that I have your attention." Now, I want to go ahead and put this in here for just a moment, because it may be 2 weeks before we get back to the continuation in the book of Jonah. Remember what I said at the beginning of last week's message, as well as this week's, is that God had two things that we know of, at least two things he was trying to accomplish. He needed to get the attention of his prophet. Jonah had a problem. Jonah didn't like the Ninevites. We know that. And God took a man who didn't even like a people to send them to the people as his messenger. Jonah didn't want to go. The second thing God wanted to do was he wanted to save the great city of Nineveh. He wanted them to repent. So there was going to be a lesson there for the city of Nineveh as well as for Jonah. Now, I said right here, Jonah seems to have gotten the message. You know, you would think at this particular point, he's like all holy. He's on his way. God commands the fish to spit him out. You think he's going to run into Nineveh and he's going to do his job with grace and mercy and love. Well, that's halfway true. He did go to Nineveh. God did get his attention in that regard. But let me just kind of put this in there. We'll cover it shortly, or we'll cover it in the next couple of weeks. Jonah still didn't like the Ninevites. We'll see that as we move through the book of Jonah. But for right now, here's what we want to understand. We want to understand that he prayed. We want to understand where he prayed. We understand why he prayed. And we understand when it was that he prayed. And when he did all these things, God delivered him from the trouble that he's in. Remember I said a moment ago that some of you may be in these particular situations like Jonah. There may be some oceans encompassing you. You may be going through some tough and trying times. I'm begging you, turn to the Lord, because a promise that he makes is that when we do that with all sincerity, he will, not maybe, he will deliver us. You know, and then I like how chapter 3 starts off. It'll probably be 2 weeks before we get to chapter 3, because this is where we're going to pick it up. I just want you to notice, if you've got your Bible out, what verse 1 of chapter 3 says. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time." Remember, God already told him what he wanted him to do. And Jonah said, yeah, he didn't say it to God, but he said, basically his actions said, "I'm not doing that." He went in the opposite direction. After Jonah's attention getter, after the fish vomits him out onto dry ground, the word came to him again. It's kind of like God said, "Now, maybe you didn't hear me the first time, so I'm going to tell you again, you need to go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it." Now, we'll pick it up just a little bit going down the road, but I want to ask you this morning, what is it that the Lord's speaking to your heart? We know that when we gather around the Word, that His Word does not return void. Are you in the middle of a storm like Jonah? Are you in the belly of a fish like Jonah? Does it look like you are just so overwhelmed with the circumstances? God's trying to get your attention. And I'm urging you today to cry out to him wherever you are that he might deliver you. Maybe today he has put it in your heart that you're not a born again Christian. We use all kinds of terms, saved, born again. I'm asking you, have you given your life to Jesus? Have you cried out and said, "Lord, I realize I'm a sinner and I need a savior. Father, I'm asking you to come into my heart and to save my soul." If you've never done that, I'm just going to ask you right now, if you would just pause with me as we look to prayer and just simply ask the Lord this in prayer. Just bow your head and say, "Lord Jesus, I realize I'm a sinner today and I need a Savior. Come into my life. Forgive my sins. Save my soul. And Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen." You know, as simple as that may have sounded, that's the way you can begin a relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you meant that with all your heart, then he has written your name in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven. Now, he wants you to live a life that truly is pleasing to him. He wants you to follow what his word says, to grow in his grace, and discipleship is part of that. Listen, if you've done that, I'm just going to simply ask you, please let us know. Send me an email. You can go look on our website, which is www.oakridgecbc.org. You'll find my email address there. We'll be more than happy to try to send you some discipleship material to help you any way that you can to grow in your faith and to grow in God's grace. Maybe today you're in the middle of a circumstance in your life. Maybe you find yourself today in the belly of a great fish and you're overwhelmed with circumstances and you don't know the way out. I'm just simply going to ask you to pray along with me. Lord Jesus, help me to trust you, realizing that you have great plans for my life. Father, today I will not live in fear, but I will live in faith. Lord, I have, like Jonah, come to myself, and I'm coming back to you. Fill me with your presence and your spirit. Guide me along the way. For Lord, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I pray that as you've done that, that you've truly been able to release all of the circumstances and situations to the Father, that that today, from this moment forth, that you will truly live by faith, not by fear, not by circumstances that you're unaware of. Because you know what? I promise this, God is going to do just like he did with Jonah. You know, maybe he's told you something before. Maybe he's called you to do something and you've ignored it. Notice in verse 3, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. You can insert your name there. Now the word of the Lord came to Roy the second time. God is a God of second chances. I want to take this moment, first of all, to thank you, to thank all of our membership at Central Baptist Church for being so supportive, for being prayerful, for looking out after your neighbor. I want to thank all those who join us by ways of technology. We keep hearing of states that have been added, New York, Pennsylvania, Kentucky, Indiana, Ohio, West Virginia, Virginia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Tennessee, Mississippi, and probably a few that I've left out. But I want to thank you for taking these moments to join us as we gather around the word of the Lord. Now, one of the things that we do with our membership is that we ask our membership to be faithful with the tithe and the offering. If you're a guest, you're welcome to do that. I'm going to give directions in just a moment, but this is a way that we can worship as well. You have been so faithful to the tithe. You have been so faithful to the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. We're still going to be taking that. If you haven't had a chance to either send that in or give electronically, you can still do that. But I'm going to go ahead and ask the blessing upon the tithes and the offerings. And then I'm just going to ask you to go on over to our webpage. It's got a little giving tab. You can click there and you can be faithful with your tithes and offerings. Let's have our offertory prayer. Father God, you're good to us. All good things come from you. Lord, all provision comes from you. None of it belongs to us. You own the cattle of a thousand hills. So Father, you've asked us so little to give back to you. Help us to be faithful to return to you the tithe, that you might bless us in ways that we can't even begin to describe. Thank you, Father, for a giving body of believers called Central Baptist Church. Lord, I can't express with words how they have fulfilled your command even in the midst of this pandemic. So Father, bless this offering. Multiply it, that it might be used for your honor and for your glory. And Lord, we do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for all that you do. Once again, we'll join. We're asking you to join us Wednesday evening. We will have our Bible study concerning the prodigal son. I do want to remind you that we will probably be taking a break from our study in Jonah this coming Sunday. And the reason why is because next Sunday, the 10th of May, is Mother's Day. So listen, don't forget moms out there. By the way, I know that my mother looks, so Mom, I'm going to go ahead and tell you early, happy Mother's Day. I love you. I appreciate you. Thanks for tuning in Southern West Virginia. But don't forget Mom this coming Sunday. We'll probably have a message more geared to mothers. And please keep our leadership team in your prayers. We are meeting this morning. We'll try to give you updates on that by our normal methods through our Facebook page as well as our website. That will be sometime on Monday. We'll get those posted. Thank you so much for joining us. We love you. God bless you. We're praying that God keeps you safe and healthy until we have the opportunity to once again be able to gather face to face. God bless you. Have a great day.